Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hello and welcome to the Call Me You podcast. This is Chloe Brotheridge, your host. I'm a coach, hypnotherapist, and the author of The Anxiety Solution. So big welcome to you for listening this week. I've had a bit of a break for a couple of weeks over the summer and I'm raring to go. Got some really great guests booked in over the next few weeks. And today's guest is my friend and the incredible coach, Lucy Sheridan. She is the comparison coach. And she's someone that I really look to for incredible insights and advice. And I love what she has to say. And I think you're going to love what she says in this podcast as well. She has been called one of the most successful coaches in the UK by The Times. She's a Hay House author. And she's been featured on Forbes, Grazia, Stella, amongst many, many others. And we're chatting about comparison and why it's so rife and why it's almost a taboo to admit that we experience comparison, even though so many of us are experiencing it. She talks about powerful ways that we can go from, in her words, compare and despair to comparison free. Doesn't that sound good? And she also shares about her own experiences with anxiety and how she has overcome those issues and some really practical strategies that she's used to help herself. Just a reminder that my online program, Your Calmer Self, is launching in a couple of weeks. So if you're interested in joining this online program for giving you the tools to manage your own anxiety, just keep an eye on your emails if you're signed up to my newsletter or have a peek at my Instagram, and I'll be posting about that in the next couple of weeks. So please enjoy this interview with Lucy Sheridan. So welcome, Lucy. Thanks so much for joining me today. How are you doing?
Really good, thanks. And it's absolutely my pleasure, Chloe. Thanks for having me.
It's so good to get a chance to sit down and grill you, basically, and find out all that you know.
One baby.
So for people that don't know you, can you tell us how you got to where you are now and what it is that you do at the moment?
Yeah, absolutely. So my name's Lucy Sheridan and I am the world's first and only comparison coach, which I know sounds super specialist, and I definitely have found it difficult trying to find a box on LinkedIn to click when I'm like updating my profile and that kind of thing. But yeah, I'm a life coach ultimately, specialised in helping people stop comparing themselves to others or stop comparing themselves to their past selves too. How I kind of got here today was comparison's always kind of been my thing. So from when I was a really wee girl, I remember being able to rank myself against like other toddlers, you know, when I got my swim badges at school, you know, how my parents behaved with my brother versus me. And then it followed me through school, my education and career as well. And then I was working in the advertising industry before I was an entrepreneur, before I worked for myself. And my comparison got really vicious there as well. And I ended up developing anxiety and experiencing that over like periods of time. And I'd find myself crying in the toilets and that sort of thing. And actually back then, and I'm sure it's the same today, I wasn't the only one either. Mm-hmm. So it's not like it's saving lives or anything. But if anyone's listening to this and works in the communications industry, you'll know that it is a gnarly place to work. And I used to love it. And then I very quickly stopped loving it in lots of different ways. And so I found myself in the self-help section at Waterstones, then like onto TED Talks and listening to Oprah Super Soul Sunday and that kind of thing. Before I knew it, by following like the cosmic breadcrumbs, I'd found this I found this thing called life coaching, and it sounded really interesting. And I could see that there were, you know, CD sets and, you know, online courses to do. But I felt like I wanted to understand myself on a deeper level, really. If I could think and feel myself into these difficult feelings, could I think and feel myself out of them? So I got a loan and invested in this life coaching training. And what was supposed to be, you know, a passion project of mine, really, like something just for me that wasn't work in my spare time, evolved. And I found that I loved the content. I'd find myself nerding out, even though my accent betrays me. I'm speaking to you sitting in Brighton, but I'm from Leeds. And I'd have to get a train like 6:30 in the morning some days to go to my training on Saturdays. And I would be there like bright as a button with my coffee, ready to go, even though I'd done like goodness knows how many hours that week in the agency. And it just suddenly started to feel like something I wanted to pursue. And then a few things kind of lined up. And to cut quite a long story short, you'll be pleased to know, I ended up leaving my job after having quite an interesting experience in that I can count on one hand the number of times this has happened. But I was in a meeting at work before I decided to have my notice in, a little while before, maybe a couple of days, and I almost heard this voice in my ear. I didn't think a thought, I heard a voice say, "I won't let you pick the timing, but I'll give you what you want." Ooh. And so I resigned the next day. Oh, and I've had to work a 3-month notice period, which was a joy, as you can imagine, and set up on my own. And I decided that I wanted to write and talk about comparison. And this was like 5 years ago. So things have moved on such a lot now. But what I noticed was, even when the business was in its infancy, I could talk about anything, you know, like work-life balance or confidence or all sorts of topics. But when comparison came up, there was a real spike. And I thought, hold on a second, I know a lot about this. I've managed to cure my own comparison almost. Anyway, I'll massively improve my relationship with myself and reduce comparison. Perhaps I could combine what I've learned there with my coaching tools to then just do comparison coaching. So I set myself a test, really. And one day I said, right, for 90 days, I am going to just turn this on and see what happens ultimately. So whenever I'm on social media, if I'm asked to do a talk, if I'm with clients, whatever it is, I'm going to make it comparison focused. And if after 90 days it's just too niche, then totally cool, because this was 5 years ago, which may as well have been 20 years ago, because the well-being industry, just using an ease of term language, has evolved and erupted so much more, and it's so amazing now. But it was really early burgeoning then, and I was kind of in a niche of a niche back then too. So I thought, if it doesn't take off, I don't get any pickup, then I'll just kind of say I gave it a good go and come back to it another time. But I guess, like, the rest, as they say, is history, because that was 5 years ago, and today I've kind of got like a waiting list. There's probably going to be some other exciting things coming up which will be public soon, and they're all about comparison. And so who cares if you can tick a box on LinkedIn? Here I am doing what I love.
I think it's funny because at first glance the idea of comparison seems quite niche, but actually you and I know, kind of working with people in this way, what a big issue it is and how many people are struggling. What sort of stories do you hear from people about what they're going through when it comes to comparison?
Oh, what a great question. It's interesting because everyone will have, something I've come to understand is everyone will have a comparison trigger, but ultimately the effect will on their lives will be the same and like fall on a scale. So the sort of stories or things I notice are, there'll be some people where comparison just started to creep in, it's an irritant. And they're like, I know it's not healthy, like, help me with some self-focus. And I'm paraphrasing, obviously, but okay, it's easy to understand how to kind of get out of it. But then there are other people on a different part of the scale where they'll sit down and they can kind of, you know, tell me their ex's, you know, partner history for the last 2 years. And they also know where their friends are going on holiday. And they have been like, I used to be like that. You know, they are voracious in their surveillance almost of other people in their lives. And yet they're stuck on the spot. So I would say, when it comes to client conversation, just anecdotally, when people chat to me about this after talks, for example, everyone will arguably have their thing, which is ironic because I feel like comparison is such a taboo. You know, it's people feel quite a lot of guilt or shame around experiencing that state. And that's something I'm passionate about busting, obviously. But everyone will have their thing, whether it's their wellness and health, whether it's their love and relationship life, maybe it's their career and work, but ultimately it's like, if you feel it, it's real. And, you know, sometimes we can get caught up in comparisons as well. So that's a whole other topic. But yeah, people will often start with, you know, their own story or anecdote about how, you know, a friendship is suffering because they can't stop comparing themselves to a, you know, one of their, someone who's in their social circle, or their career's suffering because they can't stop looking outside themselves rather than concentrating on how they're going to get their promotion or start their own business. So they know something's not quite right, but they don't really know what to do from there, or also what else they can maybe tap into. Because I'm sure we kind of share this as an opinion, Chloe, but sometimes when it comes to transformation, let's just kind of use that as a nice plain language word. When it comes to transformation, it's as much about not necessarily what you do, but who you are, like who are you being as well, to back that up. So we can all tick list and, you know, life coach diagram ourselves into infinity, can't we? But sometimes it's about who are you being, how are you showing up, how are people treating you in your life, what do you want differently? And it's understanding that, which I believe comparison does hold the keys to that aware, does hold the key to that awareness for us individually. But ultimately, we have to kind of be brave enough to stand there and like hold the stare with it. And rather than just have like a bitchy leak or be frustrated or, you know, just blame our situation or the people, we have to take responsibility and think, this might be uncomfortable, but if I can hold the stare with this, I could change my life. And it's re I think it really is that powerful, because comparison is such a, oh, it's such a significant opponent to our dreams. You know, it can uproot us so much and like pull the rug out from under our feet. So we've got to be able to kind of like see our enemy and know it.
So many interesting points there. When you say hold the stare, what do you mean by that? How
So
can we
when I
do
use that
that?
expression, I kind of feel like it's a bit like the analogy of, do you ever used to play that game Blinks when you were like a kid? And you'd stare at someone, and the first person to blink got a dead arm or something equally kind of non-health and safety. But I was a child of the 80s, probably not allowed this anymore. I'm 35 now, so just to kind of give people a bit of a reference, I think it's a bit like if you're trying to stare at something and you want to blink. But when I use that expression, I mean, I think of it like, it just like when we hold the stare with an opponent or a thing. Even though this feels really stretchy, I'm not moving. Even though I'm very uncomfortable, I'm going to stay where I am. Even though I'm not sure I want to be feeling like this anymore, I'm going to see it through and just hold on. Just hold on so that I can see what happens once I just kind of take that one step forward for myself. Because I know what my result is if I feel comparison and I just make my judgments and I'm maybe a bit gossipy or a bit resentful or a bit grudgy and negative and jealous, etc. I know what happens there. Like, okay, at best it might ruin my afternoon. At worst, it might stop me taking action on something that's really important to me because I'm in comparison. So if we hold the stare, we basically kind of say to life, I'm up for it. This is uncomfortable, but I'm up for it. And that's why the analogy can kind of, when I think of it, I see it very visually. It's almost like standing, holding the stare with the comparison. Say like, I'm actually stronger than you. I've got the difference that makes all the difference, which means my comparison isn't going to mess with me on this one.
I love that perspective. And really interesting that you talk about the kind of taboo of comparison, because I remember much more kind of in the past, I would say, rather than now, although it does raise its head every now and again for me now. But I didn't tell anyone that I was comparing myself to people. I would have been too ashamed to admit it, because I think jealousy is not a very kind of like, it's not a very attractive quality, I suppose, is it? We don't want to admit to it. There's kind of shame linked to it. But do you think we should kind of come out of the closet and, if we're experiencing that, tell, share with people, or what's your perspective?
I've never been asked that before. That's such a great question. And my view is a bit like sharing anything. Feel comfortable. Sorry. Fear. It's almost like invite yourself to push yourself out of your comfort zone. But even if when you're feeling comparison, it's kind of like talking that through with yourself. Like when you're in the shower, or, you know, I feel comparison because, or journaling it down. I think just allowing it to come out of your body and out of your system is so very, very powerful. And I also feel like, yeah, because if we do start talking about comparison, what it brings up for us, surely we heal it all together. And let's be clear. Talking about the fact you're comparing and the ways you're way you're comparing yourself is very different to gossiping about someone else. Let me give you a little bit more context on that. So just say I'm comparing myself to you, Chloe. I might, you know, say to my husband, oh, look at Chloe. I'm comparing myself in this way. I want these followers, or she's got a podcast and I haven't got a podcast. She doesn't deserve it. And I might have all these judgments and just go off on one about what, you know, I see as negative, and like, you know, make up stories about like why you don't deserve it and I do, or something like that. And yet, so I would call that having a bitchy leak, basically. So it's gone. You're like, oh, I can't take that back, and it wasn't worth it. But anyway, the worst hangovers from those in my life. But anyway, not my therapy session. And yet, if I say to my husband, oh, look, Chloe's got a podcast. Why haven't I got a podcast? What can I do to get a podcast? I'm really comparing myself there, and it's making me feel really uncomfortable. Notice how the energy on that is totally different. One is about facts and inquiry and just expressing it out, and the other is negative and like mean and nasty, basically. Mm. Yeah, and you're absolutely right. I think to even pose the question, perhaps we should be talking more about this and not be quite so vague or trying to hide it, you know?
Yeah, I love that point you just made about kind of how the bitchiness can come out when we compare, because it's almost like our ego is feeling inferior, and so we think, right, I'm going to take him or her down a peg or two. Who do they think they are?
Oh, yeah.
And you're trying to like claw back your self-esteem somehow by trampling on the other person, and it leaves you feeling worse at the end of the day when you've slagged someone else off.
Completely. So. And it's like, you don't have to necessarily be kind of like calling them up to send them a bunch of flowers or anything like that. There's no point like not being authentic. But equally, it's like, I say, the bitchiness, it's just so damaging, and like, it's quite poisonous, actually. And I've had to really work on that. I went to a girls' school, and it's like, it's about survival instincts on things, you know. And I think that we've got to be really careful about what we say about other people, because when you're putting that kind of stuff out there, it doesn't reflect well. Like, I believe in the law of three. So, for example, if I do one good thing or say one good thing, it'll come back to me threefold. Equally, if I do a bad thing, like knowingly or otherwise, if I do a bad thing or say a bad thing, that will come back to me threefold as well. So it's, you know, I want to be, you got to think about it like transactions. Is it worth it? It's never, ever worth it. So it'll make you feel better for a few minutes, but it won't ultimately get to the crux of what needs to happen.
Yeah, good advice there. What about social media then? Because I think social media gets blamed for a lot of things, doesn't it? It gets blamed a lot for anxiety, a lot for comparison. Is it really the big culprit that it's made out to be? What do you reckon?
Yeah, I've got... I like the way that this is kind of being brought up, because let's face it, comparison's been around forever. So I think even in the Bible, it says something about like, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's ass, or what, you know, choose another animal. I'm not quite sure what it is. And like, I'm not going to go around like looking for other people's cows or anything like that. But, you know, it shows even in different societies at different times, it was around. In the 50s and 60s, I think it was the phrase was coined about keeping up with the Joneses. Mm. And that was about how your social status was decided by whether you had the same things or did the same things as your neighbors, so to speak. You know, when we used to know our neighbors back in the day. I don't know any of mine now. But anyway, so I think social media amplifies comparison, but it shows that even before there was, you know, legal tender back in like biblical times, we were comparing then too. So I think it has a role to play, because it's undeniable that we have so many more opportunities to compare ourselves now. You know, you only need to look at some hashtags and you'll go down the rabbit hole of other people that are, you know, interested in that same thing, for example, and compare ourselves about how we're, you know, stacking up as we see it compared to others there. But I will say, social media will, you know, ruin your life, or it will amp up your comparison, if, like anything, if you let it. And that's why I'm a big advocate for managing it. And some people are often surprised to hear this, that I don't necessarily think that digital detoxes are the way forward, because I think any detox can sometimes lead to almost like a kind of whiplash effect for us when it comes to change we want to make. So a bit like, you know, in the UK, and maybe in other parts of the world too, but in the UK, Dry January is quite popular, isn't it? So people give up booze all the way through Dry January. But then the first weekend of February rocks around, And it's like everyone's back on it again. And it's, and zero judgment. You do what you got to do, guys. You know, you reset your life however you want to. But it makes me think, okay, well, what difference did it make? Was there benefit? And if there was a benefit, were you able to hold on to it? Mm. So for me, I think it's important to manage it and not put yourself necessarily under a microscope, but becoming more and more aware and making more and more changes to make social media more and more positive for you to hang out in ultimately. Because mm. you're absolutely right, it's a bit of a scapegoat, but we know we're prone to it anyway. This is a human trait, so though it amps it up and it definitely has a role to play, if we make it to blame, we give away our power, and I'm not very comfortable with that, to be honest. I want to think that I'm, like, you know, the master of my own ship.
Yeah, I love that. One thing I really wanted to ask you was whether we need to take responsibility ourselves for the fact that other people might compare themselves with us, and do we need to be more responsible about what we're posting and not post the perfect pictures? And I also wanted to know, Lucy, do people ever come to you and say, Lucy, I compare myself to you?
Yes, I was about to say that. So yeah, it's like, what do you do when you're the comparison trigger?
Yeah.
Well, it's an interesting one. How I'd look at this is, like, there are no social media police. I think you've got to post whatever you want to post. For a lot of us, and we can never have maybe seen this coming, but for many people, social media is a really very much, especially Instagram, a really creative outlet. So just like, you know, you might flick through the pages of a magazine, you expect a certain thing. There are certain accounts or certain themes or certain types of people that are on social media where you expect a certain look, really. So to deviate from that might be messing with their art or might be messing with their look, and that's totally cool. No shame, no judgment if that's what they're, you know, that's where their heads are at, or, and what they want to present to the world, absolutely. Because it's an interesting one about perfection, because we absolutely do need to take responsibility for how we feel. But equally, I would hate to think that anyone was dumbing themselves down or, like, feigning realness, actually, because being real and vulnerable is very cool at the moment. Like, if you need a spike on some posts, that's some of the big Instagrammers need now, because the algorithm doesn't place them like it used to. Yeah. Putting up a vulnerable post will get right back into kind of like the top, etc. And I hope they're real, I really do, but I know behind the scenes that sometimes it's not the case, but that's for another time. So I think I would never want someone to not be posting exactly what they want to, no matter how perfect it is on the scale, because of how I might feel. Because then what does that say for me and how I have to police what I want to do? Because ultimately I just want everyone to be in full expression, you know, no matter what that means for them. And also with things like imperfections and tricky times in our lives, for example, no one's entitled to know what's going on with you, whether you've got 2 million followers on Instagram or you haven't even got an account. Like, no one's entitled to know, actually. So while we're growing these communities, I think the only rules really are the ones that you want to set and abide by for yourself, so that your social media feels like something you control rather than it controls you. Because this is a really important point, Chloe, that whether you like it or not, and there'll be some people listening, you just won't believe what I'm about to say, but I'm telling you, this is the truth. You are someone's comparison trigger, at least one person's. Even if you're kind of sitting in your pajamas with a, you know, a tub of ice cream, and it's not been a good week, whatever's not going right for you, no judgment. I love pajamas and ice cream, by the way. Even if you feel like life's not going right for you at this moment, there'll be someone, like, from school, for example, that used to really compare themselves to you in athletics or at your school grades or who your parents were. Whatever it is, someone will be comparing themselves to you right now, which is why we have to be ever so kind to ourselves as well, and know that it all goes both ways. And to answer your point, yeah, I have had people say that to me. Often it's a bit like, lol, emojis, I'm comparing myself to you, and I can receive it. You know, I want my DMs, like, as much as I can't reply to all messages, but I want my DMs to be a safe place for people to be honest, if that, indeed they want to reach out in that way. But it has, but for me, tone is everything. So if I can tell when the energy and the intention is just like, oh gosh, you'll never guess what, versus, make me feel better, which I've sometimes had.
Right.
And I've just, when I've received a message like, you, when she's been like, I'm comparing myself to you, and it's maybe been a not so nice in tone, I've just kind of said, look, I'm rooting for you, but just have a think next time you reach out and share things like this, because what am I supposed to do with the rest of my day now? Like, what do you actually want me to do? Because I'm only responsible for me. I can only ever go halfway. I did have an experience once. When was it? Maybe it was a year or so back now. Not this year, certainly. And there was a there was someone that I was in touch with when I first started out. And I saw that they were like, do you want to hang out and have a chat and have a Skype or whatever? And I was like, yeah, that sounds really good fun. We'd not chatted in ages and we did similar things. And basically it became quite clear into the conversation that they had booked the Skype with me and we'd set up. And there I was with my cup of tea and my fluffy socks on, you know, all ready to catch up. And I'm paraphrasing here, but the theme of the conversation was something like, you know, I've been seeing what you've been doing. And I've got to say, when I first saw it, I didn't think it was going to be that successful. And actually seeing it be successful has really hurt me. But I think I'm okay with it now.
Ooh, interesting one.
Interesting's the word, isn't it? And my face is not dissimilar from the ones that me telling the story, which is... And I was like, is this a bad dream? Or, you know, it's just very... Very surprising, but also there's this great expression which I saw on Facebook once, so forgive me, I don't have a reference for it, but if I find one, I'll gladly share it. But it's honesty without tact is cruelty. And I realised when I kind of hung up, that was all about them. They've wanted to get that off their chest and, like, you know, forget the consequences. Lucy will be okay, doesn't matter. And it really actually hurt my feelings. And because I would have thought there was a friendship there, actually. And whereas, you know, I don't need everything to be kind of shared with me. If there's a friendship there, I've had tough conversations with friends and got through it. So I'd like to think I was here to do the work. But it kind of hurt my feelings. My next thought, Chloe, though, was as well, what am I doing or what am I not doing or what am I not being or being that makes them think that that's okay to say to me? So not like, oh, what have I done wrong such that they've been a bit inappropriate, but as in, like, that's really interesting. They had the thought that went into, like I say, like, booked the Skype, arranged the time to then us get together and then share that and then go. You know, there were lots of times we could just turn back from that and it just been like a perfectly nice cup of tea, catch up and my fluffy socks, as people referenced. And I thought, okay, that's really interesting. And it was from then that I really started working on energetic boundaries and about actually what was acceptable, like what I'm available for and what I'm not available for. If that happened again today, I would have a very different reaction and it would end with off and have an F word in front of it, because I would have zero tolerance for someone coming into my space like that. And I feel quite fierce about that. She's probably hearing the tone of my voice. So as much as it's kind of in the past, that did leave an impact, because as well, it's, you know, I get that not everyone's going to be rooting for me, not everyone roots for, like, not none of us are 1,000,000% supported, but what end was that useful? You know, because I just came away thinking, I'm never going to speak to you again. It was a really, like, hard finish to the relationship there. That was quite a long-winded answer, Chloe, but yes, I've absolutely had it. But more, what I'm pleased to say more than that, though, is I get people kind of saying, like, you know, more positive things in terms, like, I was comparing myself, but now because I found you, I don't. And I'm like, oh, that makes me feel good. That's why I get up in the morning.
Well, it's good that you've realised where your boundary is after having that experience, as unpleasant as it was. You've recognised the boundary, and that's kind of given me food for thought as well, because I think my initial thing, if someone were to say they're comparing themselves to me, would be to kind of rush in and kind of try to caretake their feelings or tell them what a mess I am, really, and it's all just...
Yeah, I know what you mean. And it takes a lot of management, actually, because... I mean, we don't have a lot of, like, examples, do we, to follow? Like, we're working this out as we go along. And what's great about being in the wellbeing industry is that people are pretty tapped into how they feel. And I've had some pretty intense conversations, but it's all stayed very level. And, like, nobody's feelings have been hurt as part from it. You know, it's been an exchange. But no, you're absolutely right. The temptation is always there to make yourself smaller. And I think, is it called tall poppy syndrome, Chloe, when people want to snip you down to size, so you're the same as the rest of poppy crop? And that's not to say that, oh, you're so unique and so special, because we're all unique and special. Or just, like, it's a great thing in A Course in Miracles, we're all, I'm paraphrasing, but all of us are special, none of us are special. So it's like, great, the pressure's off, guys. But yeah, it's such temptations, like you say, to rush in or belittle, or even when it comes to taking a compliment. So it not only can, if there was like a, maybe it was negatively delivered, we would want to appease it, pacify and make peace with it, just make them feel better. But equally, if someone says, oh, you know, you're doing really well, it's really easy to say, oh, yeah, like you say, like, you know, oh, but you don't know what's going on behind the scenes, as if, you know, people want to know, or you even have to tell them, because you don't, you know, that don't have to have your life be the fodder of other people. That's why something that you might hear me, if you're around me and someone's kind enough to say something lovely, I'll say, thank you, I received that. I've had to consciously work on that to allow that to land with me. Thank you so much. I really received that. And it's weird language, I know, but I make myself say it because otherwise I'm just like defer central. You know, it's like just allow people to tickle your tummy a little bit.
Yeah, accepting compliments is such a big one, isn't it? It's amazing how we deflect it or we say, oh, this old thing, it's, you know, 10 years old. Can't believe you like this. Or, yeah, it's really a common one. From what you're saying, it sounds like we really need to take responsibility for our own kind of propensity to compare ourselves with people and actually just work on ourselves. Because I think the world that we're living in, I think I saw someone the other day showing the stats from two different pictures that she'd posted on social media. Yeah. One was kind of a wildlife picture and one was a bikini picture.
Yeah.
And the bikini shot had 5 times more likes than the other shot. So we're, as consumers of social media, we are clicking like on the things that are the perfect images or the perfect bodies. So I think as society, we need to take responsibility, or I don't know, that's not going to change overnight, is it? But I suppose all we can do is for ourselves and work on ourselves, I guess.
That's exactly it. And be aware of what comes up as part of that too, because I can be a real, I've noticed, I'm really working on this very consciously at the moment, is that, you know, if I see someone in, because obviously, hello, it's summer, lots of people in bikinis, it's boiling, but I'm seeing bikini shots, I'm like, oh, for God's sake, put it away, love. And I'm like, whoa, hold on, am I judging another woman there? That's not cool. Like, that is absolutely not cool. And it's just like, wow, that's a really stubborn part of my personality. Rather than like, oh, that looks nice, doesn't she look great, she must work out 9 times a day, wow, what commitment she's showing to her own wellness journey, which is completely her own. No, I've gone into that, oh, for goodness sake, another one, really? And I don't like that showing up. I don't want to be that girl.
Yeah. And it's just good to be aware of where we do that, because I think we all go into, well, maybe some people don't, but lots of us do go into judgment when we're feeling less than, or when we're, you know, old patterns that from, as you said, as children, we're compared to each other. Who's the fastest runner?
Who's the best speller?
Who's the best speller? Yeah, that sort of thing. So it's very ingrained. And we need to kind of be aware of when that's coming up for us. Any kind of tips that you have for people who are stuck in comparison, what can they start to do to free themselves from that?
I think the first thing to do is to, and it may sound really trying, and I'm going to back this up with some other actionable things too, but it's decide that you're over it. Because this is another thing, like comparison is uncomfortable, but it's like a warm bath you don't want to get out of. It'll keep you there. Like we are comfortable in the discomfort of it, really. So if you decide that you're done with comparison, that's 60% of the job done. I truly believe that. And then what that does is, from that decision, it's like, okay, if I've had a lifetime of comparison, I'm now going to give myself months and maybe even a couple of years to really take very steady steps out of that trap and into self-focus, clarity, self-confidence, my own thing, like getting back in your own lane. A bit like, you know, when you pull over to a service station on the motorway, you don't just swerve onto the motorway, do you? That would be disastrous. You gently drift on, say drift, but you gently ease onto it, don't you?
Yeah.
That's how I look at it, in terms of getting into your own lane, to use that analogy. And there's lots of things that we can do as part of that too. One of the most important parts is a little bit of self-inquiry, with quite a simple but extremely powerful exercise. So I would, if you're interested in this, I would advise you to save this podcast episode and come back to this again and again. But ultimately, the steps are, look at where you're comparing yourself. And look at ultimately that. What is that trying to say to you? I believe that comparison is ultimately holding a crystal of insight for us. And a bit like that old game show, you know, the crystal maze, you have to like answer the question, do the puzzle, get the crystal and get out of there again. Just like a game show, the crystal is, you know, the comparison trying to show you will ultimately hold the insight for you to make the decisions that you need to, what to stop doing, what to start doing, what to keep doing, etc. as part of it. So, for example, if you're comparing yourself to someone's travel and adventure life and you've not been on holiday in 2 years, then your comparison is trying to show you that maybe it's time to stop living travel through your Pinterest board and look at getting a savings plan together, maybe, so you can actually put some cash together and get on a plane and go somewhere, you know, and exercise your own expression and really, you know, quench your thirst for adventure. Like, that's what your comparison is trying to teach you. It has nothing to do with the air miles of the other person. And then, so once you've got that insight, it's then about looking at, okay, well, yeah, what can I actually do? Now that I know this, how do I act on this information and follow the clues from there? And if you keep going back to that over and over again, you'll wake up one day and you won't have a clue what anyone else is doing in their lives, truly. You won't know who's got promoted, who's got engaged, who's lost weight or put on weight or whatever it is, because you're just so in your own lane. And then it becomes a case of just congratulating people's good news rather than feeling any side effects with it either. So that's a bit of more of an involved process, but ultimately that will help unpick and really turn the lock and turn the key in the lock to unpick comparison. But a great tip that I heard recently through my friend Corinne was, if you see someone that has what you want or is doing what you want to do, like, so for example, I would love to do a TED talk, and I saw someone that I know had been booked to do a TED talk, and I saw him and I was like, oh my god, I can't believe he's been booked to do a TED talk, I really want to do one. And I could have just stayed there like, oh, he doesn't deserve it, that's ridiculous, you know, and you know, would quite happily have gone on like, you know, a gossipy bitchy leak the whole day. But Corinne's got this great thing, which is, you, when you are triggered by comparison, you immediately go to good for you and the same for me. Good for you and the same for me. And if you can, say the words audibly, even if it's busy. Everyone's on their phone anyway, they won't notice. And use that finger, because it will put you back in your body, not swirling around comparing and, like, you know, having an out-of-body experience. And what's so powerful about that is that you simply can't be in comparison, frustration and jealousy and also be rooting for yourself and that other person. It's like trying to go left and right at the same time. You just can't do it. So the magic of, like, our spirit and our mind, I guess, is that it overrides the system with the good for you and the same for me, which is ultimately like that stimulus. It turns whatever we're looking at into inspiration, an example, data that it's possible to achieve a certain thing or have a certain thing or be, you know, be a certain person. So good for you and the same for me is absolute gold, and that's really transformed so much. And I think something people might be surprised to hear, actually, is that if you are in comparison, you don't need to necessarily, force yourself out of it. So, you know, like in the olden days when, like, if your dad had like a petrol car, they say if you put the wrong fuel in a car, don't turn the ignition on. But if you do, you've got to let it run all the way through, haven't you? You've got to get the AA man out to come and clean it out. Like, a nightmare job, costs a lot of money, etc. Well, I think that's similar to comparison. No one wants to be in comparison, but sometimes it happens. And if it does, let yourself feel it. Take some big belly breaths and just let that feeling of, like, well, I would compare it to like quite adrenaline, quite stimulated, you know, anxious, lot, very emotional kind of cocktail going on. Just take deep breaths and let yourself feel it. Because actually, if you let it run through your system, you can help process it rather than suppressing it, squashing it and locking it away in a jam jar somewhere, like an emotional kind of bookshelf. And then your next comparison comes along, but it's even worse because it's coming with your last comparison. They're joining forces. This one's going to be a doozy. So that, you know, maybe borrows from, again, that analogy I used at the top of our conversation around that hold the stare. So don't, you know, judge yourself or, like, bash yourself around the head and be so self-critical as, like, I've got to get out of this, I shouldn't be comparing. It's like, yeah, I know, but you are. So while you are, just take the moment. It's just a feeling. You're feeling comparison, but soon you'll feel cold, and in an hour you'll feel hungry, you know. So it's like, allow those feelings to come and go. They can't hurt you. They can't hurt you. It's just that ego makes us think that they can.
Yeah, three brilliant tips there. Thank you for that. And definitely worth listening again to, I think, for people to get them to settle in and sink in. Amazing. Can you tell us what do you do if you're feeling kind of stressed or anxious? Are there things that you do?
This is really timely because I have actually had a really stressful, anxious couple of months with like various things going on. So because of that, I've had to really be kind to myself and pay attention to things. So something that really helped me, which I was surprised at, because I've not been resistant to it, but I'd not really connected with it as an idea, was tapping. So my friend Gail is an emotional freedom technique, an EFT practitioner. And I left her a voice note on that WhatsApp. And I was like, hi, I hope you're okay. I was like, I am not okay. I am really not okay. So I suppose this is a two in one. I asked for help, but I acknowledged I wasn't feeling all right. I said, I'm really not okay. And I don't expect you to be able to fix this. But if I'll share how I'm feeling, which is anxious, out of control, and worried about making a mistake, and worried about this and worried about that. And if you can just share with me maybe where I should go from here, I just can't see, like, my, because I was in anxiety for me feels like a fog. I don't know what I can see and what I can't see. It's not like there's a thing to associate with it. So if, like, through my fog I can see a light, it might be, you know, a light from a window 20 miles away, or it might be a bicycle about to run me over. It's right near me. I just can't sense it. And she very kindly recorded me an EFT session. And so the tapping was really, really amazing. And that's very new to me too. What also helped, which I was surprised at, was screaming into a pillow, Chloe. Will not ever again. I'm going to try doing it on the daily just in case to get ahead of things. That's really, really helped. I realized how much frustration and stress and tension I was carrying around my solar plexus in my chest area, which is interesting, I think, too, in that I don't work in ad land anymore, obviously. My signs of stress were very obvious and very palpable then, but they're more subtle now because I'm blessed to say I'm pretty happy. So my stress, I've had to learn what my early warning signs are now for my stress before it kind of takes me to burnout or illness or worse, which it has done before. Tapping, screaming into a pillow, making sure I have quiet time in the morning rather than picking up my phone has really, really helped as well. And also just focusing on the essentials, especially when I'm about to be in overwhelm. Everyone, you know, people will want things immediately, and I've just set different timelines. You know, so people, you know, so if, for example, if I'm very busy in a week and people say, can we, when you have a moment, I just won't do it. Like, I'm not going to have a moment because, not because I'm so important, so busy, but if I have a moment, I might, have a shower, cuddle my dog, you know, go and pick up that thing from the post office that's been waiting for 2 weeks, whatever it is. So, I can't be prioritizing work all the time. So it's just focusing on the essentials that ultimately do need to be done. And if the essentials can't be done in that time or on that day, it's having conversations, say, look, I'm struggling here. I need you to help me. I need your help. What flex have you got? And there'll always be some. That's something that's been quite clear to me now, actually, the number of things I could have avoided had I not just asked the question. But yeah, when you know better, you do better, right? Yeah. But yeah, it's a bit of a combination for me, but lots of positive self-talk as well. Lots of very soothing self-talk. So rubbing my heart and saying, you're all right, babe. You're all right. You're doing great. You're all right. Do you want to go to bed? Like, literally talking to myself and like nurturing myself in that way too. That really takes the edge off, and I can then start to bring myself back up again. Because I noticed that with when I'm experiencing anxiety, anxious feelings, they arrive like, hello, bang through the door, windows break, you know, charging elephants comes in. And yeah, it leaves very quietly at nighttime. And then I'll be, you know, at the self-checkout in the supermarket or something. I'm like, I don't feel anxious anymore. That's nice. You know, it's gradually, very gradually, just taken like one finger off at a time and released its grip from me.
Yeah, interesting observation that. Thank you for sharing that, because I've started to ask guests on the podcast to share a bit about what they're struggling with, because I think it's so easy for us experts to you know, have all the advice, but also we struggle with things just as much as anyone else, and we need to take our own medicine at times, and it's just really good to hear, you know, your perspective on that. And I'm a big fan of screaming into pillows. I went on a course recently that was all about moving energy.
Yeah.
And there were 40 of us in a room, and we all had like pillows, and for 20 minutes they played like metal music,
rock
music, and we all screamed, stamped our feet, punched pillows, pounded on these pillows. It was the most crazy experience I've ever had.
Well, I need a little taste of that, but I'd sign up for dance class like you've done.
But so I'm often saying that to people because I think anger and frustration is very often at the root of anxiety for lots of us, and I think anger again is another emotion that it's not really acceptable for us to feel, particularly women. Agreed. Or to express, and it kind of manifests as anxiety. And if you can just release that on your, I like to sometimes pound on my sofa,
on my sofa. Try that as well.
Get on it.
Give me some great tips here, Chloe. Thank you.
So thanks for sharing that. Amazing. I would love to chat to you for like another 4 hours, but I think we better wrap it up. What are you up to at the moment, and where can people find out about what you're up to?
I am kind of, still swimming in comparison. There's nothing kind of, I haven't got any events coming up in the next week or so, but probably in September. So I am hanging out on Instagram a lot. So if you want to come and join the comparison free party, just find my handle at Lucy Sheridan. But my website is proofcoaching.com, but excuse me, there's lots of information on there too. But yeah, kind of just kind of keeping on. That's been an interesting one about this year. I started off with some very specific goals and milestones, and it became clear to me about 5 months into the year, these aren't mine, I've borrowed them from someone else. So normally I'd be like, there's this happening and there's this happening and oh my goodness, did you see this, you know, which would be cool and I'd be delivering it. But I'm having kind of like a bit of a steady Eddie one, and I couldn't be happier about it. This is where I want to be. I want to keep my own pace, not be following those of other people, which I've been guilty of doing before.
Good, that's really good to hear. And I have to say, your Instagram is one of my favourites.
Well, the feeling's entirely mutual.
Post always absolutely lovely, and you're always on there doing videos and things. So definitely, people listening, check it out, because you get so much value from Lucy's Insta. So amazing. Thank you so much for sharing your wisdom with us.
Thanks for having me, Chloe.
See you,
yeah, you too.
Hopefully see you soon.
You will do. Take care, darling.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Welcome to Sincerely Sloan, presented by Uninterrupted. I'm your host, professional tennis player, wife, parent, and entrepreneur, Sloan Stevens. As an athlete and as a person, my journey has had a lot of twists and turns, from moments of adversity and doubt to unimaginable triumph and satisfaction. Throughout the season, I'm joined by some of the biggest names in sports, entertainment, culture, and a few members of my tribe. Our conversations keep it real and push it past skin deep. We reveal the perspectives, routines, and products that allow each of us to show up at our best. Join me on my journey of self-discovery and many, many laughs along the way. Sincerely, Sloan.